Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Geek Wave. This is the low budget show. It's the show so low it has no budget. And we're just going to run through everything that happened at CinemaCon pretty quickly. I don't know. I don't want to do a full episode. So this might be like a 10-minute video, 15-minute video, where we just cover everything that happened at CinemaCon. Some news after the fact, like Keanu Reeves has been cast as Shadow the Hedgehog in Sonic 3. Keanu Reeves. He's going to be Shadow. That's pretty cool. And then a bunch of other stuff happened. So that's exciting. So there's a bunch of news we could talk about. I don't have this in any particular order. So just sit back and let's ramble on for a minute about the stuff that happened at CinemaCon. Some stuff that happened before CinemaCon. Big trailers and stuff. Just things that are worth talking about and worth mentioning. Starting with this, a new Bridget Jones movie is coming out next year. That's right, folks. Bridget Jones, Mad at the Boy. Mad at a Boy, something like that. When will she get together, folks? Seems like she can't spend any time with men. They just keep running out of her life. It's pretty crazy that that happened to her yet again. Renee Zellweger's back. I think Hugh Grant is supposedly back too. Colin Firth is the one that is not returning, which is not a surprise. Why would he do that? Either way, that's pretty cool. Ice Spice, you remember her? Do you know her? She's pretty popular with the kids these days. She will be appearing in the new Spike Lee film, High and Low, which is a remake of the Akira Kurosawa film. So that's cool. You know, the three greats. Denzel Washington, Spike Lee, Ice Spice. I think that's kind of fun. I have nothing really bad to say about that news. It's kind of interesting. I mean, yeah, try stuff new. Try to do things different. And Spike is really good at that kind of energy. So you like to see that. You like to see him succeeding and having a good vibe with that. Nia DaCosta, who is a director I like, she is still my choice to do the Barbarella film. She has signed on to do the second movie in the 28 Years Later, whatever, trilogy, whatever that's going to look like. So Danny Boyle is going to do the first movie, which we knew about already. It's him coming back to like this universe he helped create, and it's essentially just going to be him doing that. So Nia DaCosta will do the second film, which is great. I love that she's rebounding from Marvel. She was kind of thrown under the bus for some things that happened there. I don't think it was all her fault. I know it's not all her fault, but it's a shame that Marvel kind of let things be said about her for specific reasons or whatever. But she's got the Tessa Thompson movie Hedda, which is currently filming or in post-production or something like that. So then she'll be moving on to this. I'm guessing it's this. We haven't started filming the other one, so maybe it's still a ways away. If we announce the director for the sequel, I'd have to imagine they're either going to film like back-to-back or very close. I also wonder if it's going to be like another 28 years later from the new one. So it'd be like the first movie's 28 years later from 28 days, and then the sequel to 28 years later is another 28 years removed from that. Maybe. Would that make any sense to anybody? I don't know, but maybe that's what's going to happen, I guess. We also got like a Joker trailer for Joker Folie à Deux, which I don't really have much to say about. It looks the same as the other Joker movie, if only a little more fun, because Lady Gaga is really cool, and I really like the career path Gaga has chosen for herself when she's making movies. You work with Bradley Cooper, you get the Oscar nom, you get the song win, it's awesome. You go over to like FX to do Ryan Murphy stuff, you do fine there, then you head on over, you work with Ridley Scott on House of Gucci, and now here you are playing one of the most iconic characters in popular culture of like the last 30 years. That's a successful career trajectory, in my opinion. Glad to see she is succeeding. Glad to see she is winning and doing great. But this film comes out this year, folks. A Joker movie. A sequel to a Joker movie that made $1 billion is coming out this year, and it might be a musical that they're hiding in the marketing. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that like a normal thing we see all the time now? Oh, God, that's just what we do, isn't it? That is just how we do things. On that note, too, Warner Brothers had their big panel. We learned a couple of things. Mickey 17 got some stuff. Bong Joon-ho was like, Robert Pattinson looks sad. I love him for that. And then they were like, Beetlejuice stuff looks pretty good, so that's cool. And a couple other things. What else did they say? They showed off the Superman logo, which is kind of exciting. You like to see that. And Furiosa is apparently going to take place over like 20 years or something, which is kind of crazy, kind of insane to think about, but I'm kind of here for it. I do like the energy that could come from that. It's an odyssey. Why tease us? And George Miller's the type of guy that wouldn't lead us on it. If he has a story to tell in 2 hours, he's going to do it. You know, not this trilogy bullshit. So you got to respect them for that. So that's kind of cool. And they also were doing like the M. Night Shyamalan thing. So this is really exciting. I like this. M. Night Shyamalan's new movie, Trap, is going to come out this year. His daughter is going to star in it. It follows a father and daughter who go to like a pop concert. And the father realizes this was a trap to catch him because he's actually a serial killer and was set up by the police so he couldn't escape. And Josh Hartnett's going to star in it. And that's awesome because he's like a cool guy I have a huge crush on. I love Hartnett. So this could be a really fun thing to see. Like, yes, yes, this is the vibe I want to see from you, M. Night. I'm glad you're doing this. I know your daughter is also making like her directorial debut with The Watchers this year. So it's the summer of M. Night, man. The Shyamalan family is making movies this year, and we're all kind of excited for it. And it is kind of like weird that Warner Brothers just like showed off a bunch of like legacy stuff. But you know what? That's movies this generation. I can't be too mad about it for that. Blumhouse also showed off a bunch of stuff. They're doing a new Blair Witch Project movie, which I think is kind of fun. You could do something cool with like the Blair Witch if you want to talk about it in like the modern setting of like using Twitch streams or, you know, TikTok videos and all that kind of algorithmic stuff. There's something to say there. I think they could generally do something interesting with that. They showed off the Wolfman footage, which is kind of a cool thing. I would have loved to see that. You know, Mickey 17 and the Wolfman come out in like January and February of next year. That sounds like a really good way to start off the year, in my opinion. I like that a lot. Five Nights at Freddy's 2 will also be coming out next year. So they're going to, I think they're, are they filming that now or they're going to film it soon? That's coming pretty quick too. James McAvoy's Speak to Me or Speak to the Devil or The Devil May Speak or something. He's got that coming out, a remake of the Danish film. I believe it's Danish. So that's kind of exciting. I didn't take notes for all that stuff. The only kind of notes I did take were for the stuff for Paramount because I think they showed off the most. So Disney also had their thing. Disney, who is also currently like, what if we turned our streaming service into normal TV by having a channel that plays the genre stuff like Star Wars and Marvel? You know those famous genres? Star Wars and Marvel? Crazy. Speaking of streaming services doing stupid stuff, sorry just to go off tangent for a minute. Catherine Bigelow is no longer having her new film released by Netflix because their new like producer or CFO or whoever the fuck's in charge was just like, we want to make stuff for audiences and not stuff that auteurs want to make. So we're not going to be making this new thing for you. And you're just like, why aren't you letting Catherine Bigelow, an Oscar-winning director who's made some great action films, not make her movie over there, man? That's stupid and a bad idea, and I hate it, and it's really annoying and miserable. And also, Killers of the Flower Moon will not be getting a physical media release from Apple, which sucks and is ruinsome. But I still think Bigelow should try to get work at Apple because they've been pretty good at Scorsese and Scott and Lee making their stuff, so maybe she should go over there. But no, Disney had their whole panel. They're like, Moana 2, it looks fine. You know, Yorgos likes stuff. We're doing okay over here. Marvel was like, we're not doing okay. We're kind of struggling. Here's Sean Levy to say how Deadpool and Wolverine isn't a sequel to Deadpool 2 and how it's its own thing. I don't care. You know, Deadpool's got to like protect the sacred timeline or some bullshit. Who gives a shit? None of it matters. Deadpool sucks. Make a joke about popcorn buckets and all that shit. I don't care. I don't care about Deadpool 3. It doesn't sound interesting. And Captain America Brave New World got another first look. And you're just like, this is fine. Anthony Mackie came on stage and he's like, guess what, folks? We're rewriting what it means to make a Marvel movie. The MCU will be forever changed now. Great. That's just what I wanted. Things to be more different than they already are now because we're in problematic times for this and it's exhausting. Also, Thunderbolts got a new title. Its title is Thunderbolts of an Asterix, which leads me in a couple of directions for why I think it's going to suck and be stupid. And I think it could be just a dumb joke they make where it's like, well, it's a work in progress. Or I think it could be like, we're actually not the Thunderbolts, we're the Avengers or something stupid, but we're the Dark Avengers. And it's just a title or whatever. Or they're going to be like, we don't legally have the right to use Thunderbolts because somebody else bought the rights and it's going to be Baron Zemo or something. Either way, the new logo looks terrible. And this movie sounds very exhausting, and it's just a shame. I'm not going to say I'm the biggest Thunderbolts fan, because I'm not. There is no such thing as the biggest Thunderbolts fan. There isn't. What I am a fan of is the first run of Thunderbolts, which is like a really cool trick that Marvel pulled, and they did some cool stuff with it. And I just don't think anything we could potentially see in a movie is going to be that exciting. I also find it very strange that the Blade movie they announced years ago is going to come out after a vampire movie from Ryan Coogler and Michael B. Jordan, because they're filming that. That movie that they have that's set in like the 30s is going to have Michael B. Jordan playing twins, and they're going to kill like the KKK of vampires or something. They're filming that now. It's in production. That movie is happening. And who knows if Blade's going to happen? And who knows if Fantastic Four is going to be good? Who knows about any of this? And we're not fixing the comic books. And Amazing Spider-Man number 50, he's going to become the Spider-Goblin. And whatever's going on with Batman is happening. And for some reason, there's the rumors going on right now that DC might be doing their own ultimate relaunch called Absolute DC. And you're just like, this is too much and I can't process this right now. So why do these things I love feel like they're hurting me and they're no longer interesting? Am I growing up? Are the times changing? Or are we just making bad content that's going to be playing on our streaming service that we're just turning into normal TV? Are we doing anything great anymore? Or is all this just annoying and distracting and really making me angry? I don't know. I'm very exhausted. I did not like the Disney announcement for anything. It sounded like Disney just doesn't have anything cool going on. But Paramount had some interesting reveals. So when all others were like, let's just show you stuff we have in production right now, Paramount came on stage and said, yo, look at how big our dick is. We're going to announce everything. You want a new SpongeBob movie? So the Search for SquarePants is coming 2025, and there's going to be nudity. They made sure to clarify there's going to be nudity in this new SpongeBob movie. What does that mean? I think it means SpongeBob's pants are going to run away and he has to find them. That's what I think it means. Which, okay. Damien Chazelle has got a new movie coming out, folks. We all thought he burnt his bridges with Paramount over doing Babylon, one of the best movies ever made. But no, he's got a new movie that's going to be coming out hopefully by 2025. It's going to be set in a prison. So lower budget, work your way back up, get out of director's jail by making a movie about getting out of director's jail. I like that for you, man. It's really cool that you're going to do that, Damien. You're a great director. I'm glad to see you getting chances like this. Rock on, my brother. A new Star Trek that will be happening in 2025. We don't know what this is going to look like in particular, but we got like the Michelle Yeoh movie spinoff, whatever, that's going to be coming to Paramount. They also said more stuff about Star Trek that would be happening. Lower Decks is going to end with the most recent season that's coming out, season 5, which is kind of cool to see that a show like this actually made it to season 5. You'd think it wouldn't, but that's a pretty good run. It could be better, but that's kind of cool. And Strange New Worlds is going to be getting a fourth season renewal, which is kind of impressive to see. I'm really glad that show has found its audience. I am one of the vocal members of that audience. I really dig that show. Super glad that's finding like something cool happening. The way I feel about Strange New Worlds is I think how the way people feel about like seeing like their favorite video game adapted. I've been watching Fallout, and this is kind of like off topic for a bit, but just watching that, I start to think about like, what are the things I like about stuff? And then I was like, I don't know. Like, I don't feel anything watching Fallout. Maybe because I don't have that connection. So maybe, like, seeing references in Fallout from, like, people that play the video game is, like, what they like. And when I see a stupid reference made in Strange New Worlds, that's the equivalent for me. I'm starting to think that's the equivalent for me. I'm probably not going to do a review on Fallout, so I'll just say this. I've watched 2 episodes by the time this is going to go out. I think it's fine, like a solid 6 out of 10. Maybe it'll get better, but I have no connection. But the lead actress who plays Lucy, she has like an old school Hollywood, like, you know, scarlet face. And I freaking think she's adorable. She's really cool. Some more Star Trek, that's great. Also, the G.I. Joe Transformers crossover is actually going to happen. cool, who we getting in this one, boys? Is it going to be the Rise of the Beast people? Is it going to be Henry Golding as Snake Eyes? Y'all forgot that came out, didn't you? I didn't. I was aware of that. Because Samara Weaving was in that movie as Scarlet. And Andrew Koji was the Shadow Before the Storm. So the Storm Shadow is coming or whatever. Remember how they had to set up he was going to become Storm Shadow? And he chose the name because somebody said, that's it right there. That's the Shadow Before the Storm. That famous saying everybody says. You might have forgotten, but I haven't. This is a dumb idea. Nobody really cares about G.I. Joe. G.I. Joe works in two mediums. It works in nostalgia and it works in action figures, but those coexist on the same plane. Really stupid. Don't know why that's happening. Edgar Wright is making a Running Man remake with Glenn Powell. You're like, okay, Glenn, I think you should follow Bill Paxton's career, but if you want to go over there and you want to do like your Arnold Schwarzenegger, be my guest. That's not a bad place for you to be either. I think that works just fine for you. You clearly can make that work. And Edgar Wright, this is like a boring dystopian world where you could make it look colorful and edgy or whatever. Sure. That seems like it's perfect for you. If you do that, don't touch Barbarella, please. I know you were kind of like rumored to do Barbarella. You were like one of the last guys I want to see touch Barbarella. I know I said that already, but I'm standing by it. I don't want to see him do that. New Naked Gun. We already knew about this. Liam Neeson's like, yeah, it's awesome. I'm freaking sick. I love doing Naked Gun. I wish I was a Naked Gun. R.I.P. O.J. Simpson, you murderer. A new Scary Movie. Cool. That's fun, I guess. Is the era of the spoof movie long gone, though? Like, what are we going to be spoofing? Megan, obviously we'll be spoofing Megan. Obviously we'll be spoofing Beetlejuice, maybe? What's like a famous modern one? Would they just get like Melissa Barrera to show up and just be like, yeah, I'll be in this scary movie, I don't give a shit. Maybe. Ridley Scott's going to be making his Bee Gees biopic over there at Paramount, apparently, so that's pretty freaking sick. And a couple of things I really like. First off, a live-action R-rated Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles The Last Ronin movie is going to be happening. I think this makes sense. I've talked a lot about The Last Ronin. It's one of like the first things I ever talked about on the Geek Wave. I get why this is going to happen. You want to appease all the fans, and when we can do different interpretations of the Turtles, that's really cool. You want to make this IP stronger than ever. That's a way to do it. It's what they want to do with Sonic. They want to make Sonic very prominent, so we're probably going to get like a Shadow the Hedgehog spinoff movie, and then we'll see other characters like show up in television, because Knuckles comes out next week, so there you go. Knuckles is coming or something, whatever. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah, The Last Ronin. I'm fine with this. It's not where I'd love to see the direction of this franchise go. I feel like it could have the same energy as like a Rebel Moon where you're like, we're like ripping on something else, but we're doing like the edgy fucked up version. I don't want to see that. But what I like is that this could be a way to bring back the 90s aesthetic. If you're going to do the Last Ronin movie, right? You should do the big rubbery suit versions. You don't have to use the rubber suits themselves, but model your characters off of that. Use that aesthetic. Get one of the two actresses that played April O'Neil to come back. Get the actor that played Casey Jones to come back. They're at the age now to do it. Have them come back in that. Get the voices to come back. That is what you should be doing and what they're probably not going to do. I don't want this to be like a standalone thing. Get that, like, version of Michelangelo, you could beef him up a little bit, put him in the pads, and that could just be how that works. But you should go for that aesthetic and make it feel like a continuation of that universe. Because I don't think anybody would be like sad if that happened. Would they? Like, I just talked about all of those movies. I don't think I'd be sad. Or, oh my god, no, I was just thinking about this. Maybe they're going to do the Michael Bay versions because those are owned by Paramount. And that's how you get Alan Ritchson to come back because he was Raphael. And he's kind of like in good company right now. He's like a good guy. And we could have a sequence where he comes back for like 5 minutes as Raphael. And he like kills Karai in like a huge fight. And that would be cool. But I don't think any of those guys had a good time working on those movies. So I don't think that's going to happen. but maybe it would. Like, I'm starting to think now maybe that could be where that would go, because they desperately would want to get Alan Ritchson to come back. I don't know. Maybe. But this could be cool. I have hopes it would be interesting. I don't know if it would actually work. Now, we have one more thing to talk about from Paramount, which is also very exciting, in my opinion. And that is that Matt Stone and Trey Parker are going to be teaming up with Kendrick Lamar to release a new movie that will be coming out on the 4th of July of next year. I love Trey and Matt. They are some of my favorite guys in the industry. I love the empire they built for themselves. Just starting off making like their independent cartoon, it gets picked up. They build everything out. They get to play with the stuff they like. They get to make movies based on stuff they like. They get to make a Tony Award-winning musical talking about something they're interested in. I always like it when they venture out of South Park to try to do something different. And this movie, there's some information that we know about it. Essentially, where it's a musical comedy about this young black man who works in like a living history museum as a slave reenactor, and he learns that his white girlfriend's ancestors owned his ancestors. And you're like, that is perfect comedy for Trey and Matt to play with. That is something you could see happen in a South Park episode. So I love that. I really do love that. It's kind of like that episode of Family Guy where Peter learns that Peter Schmidt like owned his ancestors, but I like a musical comedy about that could be very interesting. Kendrick Lamar makes some really interesting music. This could be a cool thing to see. And also, look, this could be the way we see Matt and Trey get that Oscar. You know, that they're close. They've got a couple of those in the EGOT. This could be how they get that Oscar win, which is crazy. The fact that these two have a new movie coming out, that it just excites me. You know, they signed that big deal with Paramount a couple years back. All we've seen from that really is like the South Park specials. So the fact that they're doing this now, that makes me really excited. It makes me really excited to see like what could come from that. And they're doing more than what we've seen from, what's his face, Seth MacFarlane making his deal with NBC. I don't think we've seen anything from that. He's making a Naked Gun movie at Paramount. So he hasn't really like done anything for his big deal of NBC. I guess Ted. And Ted was successful, but that's really it. He hasn't really done like anything else majorly in that vibe, which is fine, I guess, if you want it. We got a final piece of news here to talk about, because we already talked about O.J. Simpson passing. This is that the MonsterVerse stuff. Imagine this, you know, it was very successful over with like Godzilla X Kong. So Legendary like upped their deal of Apple TV. We're going to be getting a second season of Monarch Legacy Monsters and spinoffs from that. You know, maybe we'll get like a spinoff of like the weird crystalline people that live in the crystal or something. But that's cool. I mean, I'm glad it's working for them, and it'd be really nice to see that happen. So that's exciting. I do like that. And I mean, I like it. I never finished Monarch, so I'm just glad like somebody's going to enjoy that and have that be something that happens for them. Just looking to see if anything else is worth talking about. Jurassic World casting is kind of underway. It looks like they're looking to get Scarlett Johansson. We already knew that. Jonathan Bailey could be in there. And Coleman Domingo could be showing up. Ooh, that's kind of exciting. I like Coleman Domingo. And I like Jonathan Bailey. And I'm okay with Scarlett Johansson. So that's okay. I think that's kind of it. Nothing else really worth talking about. Curb Your Enthusiasm ended. So that's kind of cool. But, you know, of everything that was kind of like talked about at CinemaCon, I really like the Trey and Matt stuff. I think that's kind of cool. I always like a new SpongeBob movie. The Bridget Jones thing, that excites me. And I think we're about to see a whole generation of people realize that, you know, the Joker is not what they think it is. And the way, you know, theater kids act could be a lot what this movie is going to be about, actually. So that's kind of fun. I guess, I don't know. Oof, a lot of news. A lot of news that we just ran through pretty quickly, but I don't really have time to like dive into this fully. So there's just some brief shit coming up. Keanu Reeves will be Shadow. I guess that's going to be the headline everybody cares about. And if he's going to be Shadow, that 100% leads me to believe at some point we're going to be getting a Shadow spinoff in some capacity. And that's where you get Rouge the Bat and whoever else. SBO the Chameleon could show up somewhere. I know it's like Mega Man. I know the characters because I like the way they look, but not anything about the lore itself. Doesn't Shadow have like a friend that dies that's like a young girl or something? It doesn't matter. That's CinemaCon and other stuff. Big show. Popcorn buckets are coming, kids. You know, the Deadpool popcorn bucket. You could put your dick in it, it looks like, because there's a big hole. Okay, that's going to do it for this episode of Geek Wave. Be sure to like and subscribe to the channel. As always, you can check me on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. And of course, I will catch you in the next one. Have fun. Stay safe. Good luck.